And Feliz Navidad. That's all I got. It's stretching my linguistic abilities right there. Hey, Avery and Corelia Powers are here. Up visiting from Baltimore. It's great to see you guys. I think this is the first time I did the wedding in Pennsylvania in June. And then I said, I think this is the first time I've seen you since. Maybe we talked a couple times, but I said, man, it's good, right? I was curious what you guys would look like as a married couple, and it's good. You guys are great. It looks like it works. Okay. Lord Jesus, bless this message as we lift our hearts to you, Lord. We're thankful for everything that you have given us, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We had a place to wake up this morning. Thank you, we had people to be with this morning here in the church, and we're so thankful, Lord, so thankful. Bless our thoughts in your word. Amen. Okay. Israel. Yes. Fresh haircut. Christmas haircut. Steve. Hey. If I just call out everybody by name, that's the whole message. Grace. Grace. It's going to be the whole message, just me saying your name. Hope I know everybody. No. Mary Lee! Yay! Okay. Open with me to Matthew chapter 1. We've had a great Christmas season here. We had our play last week. Does that feel like a month or two ago, the play? It does. Excuse me. Sniffling a little bit. But that was beautiful. We had a great time. I loved it. We had 50 chairs set out, and I think in the last show, maybe 80 people, 75, 80 people. I don't know what the official count was, but do you know, Joyce, what the last one was? 75, 80, somewhere in there? Yeah, we'll stick with that. Thank you. Confirmation. But it was great. Beautiful time, and beautiful time together. And afterwards, the whole place was put back together in like 20 minutes, which was so much fun to watch. No, it was fun to watch. In this way, that I didn't do anything. And actually, I started to do stuff, and people said, no. Because my shoulder. And they said, don't do anything. So I didn't. And it's just beautiful to see the body of Christ working together with joy. And I was blessed, in particular, Eliza's father. Oh, man, how come I don't remember his name? Everton, right? Everton and Katja. Eliza's mom and dad, they're just smiling. Huge smile on their face, taking down the play sets. And I was like, man, that's amazing. How many people, like, they come to the play and then they have joy working together. And that's the body of Christ. So to watch the whole thing be turned over and be ready for church on Sunday was so much fun. And then Friday night we went out caroling. We had a great time. It was crazy. I didn't know what was snow, rain, 50 degrees, 20 degrees, like it was just all over the place. So what we did is we started at Pastor Donald and Rosie's house, right, which is in the building. We didn't even have to go outside. It was perfect. And we did so good. I said, okay, let's take it on the road. We took the show on the road. So we went to a few doors. We stopped at, we went to the Ramirez house, and Estuado was singing along with us on the through the doorbell. And then we went to a few other houses in Marlboro, and it was just so much fun, really, just beautiful together and glorifying Christ. And then last night we had our candlelight service here, which was beautiful. And surprisingly, there was I don't know what kind of magical candles we had. Like, modern technology is amazing. The wax didn't melt and drip all over everything. Like, you know, that's always part of it. Right, you're yelling at the kids stressfully. We're yelling at the kids, hey, it's dripping. We still have remnants on some of the chairs. You can see it from last year. But anyway, just to again, together, and a lot of joy. So here we are. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 1. And We'll be brief this morning, but that's okay. I'm going to read the first 17 verses, which is the genealogy of Christ. And interesting piece of history here, right? The genealogy of Christ. It says in verse 17, all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David into the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity of Babylon until Christ are 14 generations. Isn't that beautifully kept? The genealogies are beautifully kept. You know, now they are not so accurate, actually. They can't. Through all of the years and what the Jewish nation has been through, they have lost some of these genealogies. Some they still have. You still see some of the names that are Cohen, right, the Kohathites, and you see the family names that have come through. But it's amazing that Christ came when he came, because his genealogy can be traced all the way back to Adam. And it's important that the Messiah that was prophesied about in the Old Testament would be of the lineage of David. And if he were to come later, and if he were to come, say, now, we would not be able to trace his lineage back. But because he came when he came, we have this little piece of history here that shows us who he really is. By faith, we believe. By faith, honestly, I could say without this genealogy, I am enough. I'm good. I believe in Christ. But with this, I have like so much more confidence. And also, like, just another little bit of assurance from God. Isn't it good to have assurance from God? Family, we tell each other we love each other, right? Isn't that good? It's good. You could turn to some, find someone in the room and say, I love you. It's fantastic. My wife's not here. Oh, Vicky, I love you. Isn't that good? Assurance. If on your wedding day, yeah, I love it. Right? If on your wedding day, say Pastor Donald and Rosie got married, what was it, almost 2 years ago now? Year and a half, August, right? If on that day Pastor Donald said to Rosie, maybe he did, I'm not sure. Maybe that's why they're in different parts of the room. But if Pastor Donald said to Rosie, I love you, and if anything changes, I'll let you know. Right? And then never told her he loved her. Right? Oh, that'd be, I mean, I'm sure there is love there, but when we express it, it's beautiful. And there is assurance. There's assurance. Have you ever been walking with a little kid somewhere and you just feel them like grab onto your pant leg or onto your hand? Right. What are they looking for? They're just looking for some assurance that you're there, right? Like, I don't, like, if we're in a big crowd or we're somewhere, I'm like, I feel a little uncomfortable and you just feel like a little hand. And that, as a parent, it's like one of the most beautiful things. You're like, oh, I got you. I did that one time in a store and I looked up and it was neither of my parents. I had no idea who the person was, right? I was terrified, right? I just reached up and I'm like, hold on. Oh, right? Oh, I was not assured of anything, right? But we are that way, aren't we? And God is saying to us, I know you believe, right? I know you believe, believers, I know you believe, but I'm going to give you some assurance. And I'm going to give you all these little nuggets throughout the Bible, and you'll take them and you'll think about them for centuries, and each time you'll say, oh, Lord, thank you for giving me that little assurance. And the assurance I want to speak about this morning is about his grace and how gracious he is and how gracious he will always be with us. So here we go, verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. We know that story, right? How were they? They were like kind of not that great. Shady, thank you. Thank you, Mark. Just my thesaurus this morning. Thank you. They were shady, right? They sold their brother Joseph into slavery. And actually, Judah in particular, who we have here, Sean portrayed Judah in the play. Sean said last week, he said, let's have an ugly sweater contest at church on Sunday. So he came in this morning and I said, you win. You got it. That is an ugly sweater. No, I'm just kidding. Because he didn't wear it. But he got Garrett and Caroline to wear it. It was a ploy the whole time. They're the only ones. And Mark. Anyone else? Okay. But Judah, if you read the story of Judah, it's not a great story. That he was not honorable. If you go through the first, all the brothers actually, and Judah, we'll just say Mark's way was shady. But also Judah was chosen that through Judah would come Christ, right? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. We see in the divided kingdom of Israel, there is Israel and then there is Judah. And Judah is always there. David comes from Judah by God's grace. But look at verse 2. And you can read the story of Judah later. We're not going to get into it right now. But Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. This is the part of the story that's shady, I guess. Tamar was actually Judah's daughter-in-law. Right? And it's a weird story, right? It would fit Jerry Springer so well. Or Maury Povich, right? You are the father. But it's an interesting story. But now we see here in the genealogy of Christ, where typically it's following the line of the father, and the father begets the son, who begets the son, who begets the son, who begets the son, who begets the son. But now we see here that there is a woman in the genealogy of Christ. It's significant because in Genesis chapter 3, when God curses the serpent, he says there will be enmity between your seed and the woman. In particular, he says the woman. Why is that important to us to understand? Because man had failed. But man, Adam is the, we say this term, he is the federal head of humanity. He is the first man in human race, and he failed. And sin is introduced into the world in Adam and Eve. But here we see that Tamar is in the genealogy. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram. Okay, side note. When we sang that song in Latin, wasn't it funny to hear Latin words and then, in Bethlehem, right? Isn't that good? That was the only words I knew too, Wes. Not just Sal. But, he's upstairs translating. Oh, look at that. Wes is interpreting tonight. Isn't that great? He's singing and then he's interpreting. Okay, but then when you read through the names, these Old Testament names or these ancient names, isn't it funny that you go through them and then you read one like Daniel, right? It's funny. We have, what are their names? Perez, Zerah, Hezron, Ram, Aminadab begat Nashon begat Salmon begat Boaz. Right? And now here we go again. Salmon begat Boaz by Rahab. By Rahab. Do we know the story of Rahab? She's not even Jewish. And beyond that, she was a prostitute. But she was there in Jericho, and she saved the two spies. And she believed. And she was there, and she let the scarlet thread out of the window, and so that her whole family was saved. And now she is one who is in the lineage of Christ. It's amazing. Tamar actually also dressed up like a prostitute. She's in the lineage of Christ. Rahab was a prostitute. She's in the lineage of Christ. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Who's Ruth? She's a Moabite. She's not a Jew either. But she, remember we had her in the play, right? Who was Ruth? Jessica was Ruth, okay. Kidney was Orpah. And Ruth is married to into a Jewish family, and then the whole family dies, and Naomi brings Ruth back into Judah, and there she is gleaning in the fields, and she meets Boaz. No, I'm sorry. Yes, she meets Boaz, and she's redeemed. And now she is in the royal family. And now she is in the lineage of Christ. And Jesse begat David, the king. David begat Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Who's that? Bathsheba. Right? Bathsheba. Also, I mean, we could say plainly she was an adulterous woman, right? I mean, David is initiating, but she is also there. And Uriah is killed. But then out of her comes Solomon. And the lineage of Christ is extended. Solomon begat Rehoboam. Rehoboam begat Abijah. And Abijah begat Asa. And Asa begat Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begat Joram. And Joram begot Uzziah, and Uzziah Jotham, Jotham Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh, Manasseh Amon, and Amon Josiah. Josiah Jeconiah and his brothers about the time when they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought but to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel. And Shealtiel, that sounds like a paint color, Sherman Williams. Shealtiel begat Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begat Abud. Right? Abud begat Eliakim. And Eliakim begat Azor. And Azor, Zadok. And Zadok, Akim. And Akim, Elihud. Elihud begat Eleazar. And Eleazar, Mathan. Mathan, Jacob. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. It doesn't say anything about Jacob other than the fact that he was the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. So we see that Christ is born of Mary. We know her lineage also. You can follow her lineage. She is in the family of David also, but she is born. He is born of Mary, and he is the Christ. And we see that in this genealogy that God is working in a way that is different than usual. And God is making note of people who maybe we wouldn't make note of. Have you ever studied your genealogy? I have an uncle who retired, so he spent like the last, 10 years studying the Norman name and all the branches and all these kind of things. And all kinds of cool stuff we discovered, but also some things maybe we wish we hadn't uncovered, right? Because when we think of our family and we think of our genealogy, we look for the highlights, right? Like we look for the things that are exciting, that are cool. Like I'm related to Abraham Lincoln. I'm not. I'm just saying that. Related to Abraham Lincoln. Or this part is true, that there was a Norman on the Mayflower, right? Oh yeah, that's a highlight. But also there was a Norman who was just shady, to be honest. And he ended up in Australia. Right? And we know, what that means. And it's like, but so we could say, like, and there we are as a family, and here we are, and we're like, holding it together. But then we start looking into our past, and we say, oh no, ooh. But once it's discovered, we can't put it away, and we can't make it go away, and we can't now explain our history in a different way, unless we were just to lie and make things up, which is an option. But Christ, God, here is not hiding anything from the genealogy of Christ. And he is not making anything out of reach for us. But here he shows us who he uses, and he shows us how he works, and he shows us how gracious he is. And we to see that there are these Gentile women and these like sinful men and women in the lineage of Christ, that he didn't come from like some thoroughbred, but he came through people like us. With histories like us, with families like us, who have stumbled along, but then we have met Christ and we have said, oh Lord, you are the difference. You are the change in my life. So the story with the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 2. You can turn with me to Luke chapter 2. or I'm sorry, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." I tried that this morning. I flicked on the lights and I said, "Rejoice, highly favored woman." And then a pillow came flying my direction. No, I didn't do that. I waited patiently. I didn't wake anybody up. I'm the first one up Christmas morning every year. No, I'm like sitting down there by the tree, like so excited. I love it so much. I do. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." This is an answer to sin in Genesis chapter 3. The enmity between the serpent and the woman, the seed of the woman, right? Adam, you're kind of on the sidelines. You failed, right? And this whole thing will be, I will come in a whole different way. And I will come in a whole different means, but I will come in a way that is perfect, and that I will be able to save. Verse 32, "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Imagine Mary receiving that message. We know Mary and Joseph didn't have much. They didn't have much in means, right? They traveled. They didn't have anywhere to stay. When they dedicated Christ, they gave the lowest possible offering. They're a young couple just starting out. And to hear that your son will have the throne of his father, David. His father, David. And you can say, well, what? Oh, right? Joseph's not his father in that way. But he'll have the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. What kingdom does Mary have to offer Joseph or Jesus? What kingdom does Joseph have to offer Jesus? Nothing. They had nothing. But that wasn't the point. The point was that God was doing something. Just like he had proven through the genealogy, just like he had proven through the people that he chose, that he could do anything. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I have not been with a man?" An angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren." Another in the line of barren women, right? Sarah, Rebecca, right? All of these significant women in the story of Israel. Now here is Elizabeth again. Mary could say, "I've heard of the stories of the other ladies who were barren and now have had a child. Samson's mother was this way. Samuel's mother, Hannah, was this way." And now she could say, "I've heard of it." But God is saying to her, now you'll see it, where Elizabeth is also going to have a child. And here it is, "For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. It's a simple story. It's told simply, I'll say it that way. The story is told so simply. But it's a humongous story. And we see that Mary is listening, Mary is believing, but no question there was doubt there. And because she's saying, how is it possible? I haven't been with a man. I don't know how it works with angels, but with humans it works this way. That I have not been with, I'm a virgin, I haven't been with anybody, I cannot have a child. And he says, no, this is the operation of God, and this is the fulfillment of prophecy, and this is the move I am making in the world, that I will introduce a whole new person. Right? In a way, right? That he, this person, Jesus, will take on humanity, the incarnation. I was quizzing my daughter Riley on theology the other day. Right? It's good. 11. You got to know your theology. No. I said, what does incarnation mean? She goes, I don't know. I don't know. I said, I don't know either. Right? I've said it 8,000 times in my life. But no, we do know what it means, right? The incarnation, to take on flesh, to become human, right? And this is what Christ did. And this is how he did it. Like a simply told story, but a story that is bigger than anything we can imagine. And what else can we do but say, okay, God, behold. And she says, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. But verse 37 is really what I want to concentrate on, that nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. Here, I'll show you. You go see Elizabeth. She's how old? How far along is she? She's 6 months, right? Is that it? Yeah, 6 months. What trimester is that? Second? Third? I'm rusty. It's been a few years, right? Anyway, whatever. Doesn't matter. Okay, you'll see your elderly cousin Elizabeth will be pregnant. That would be amazing. It would be wild, right? If Mary Lee came in next weekend, pregnant. It would be shocking. It would be shocking. But we'd be there. We'd have a baby shower for you. We would. Because I'm sure you've gotten rid of some baby clothes in the last couple of years. I'm joking. But you know what I mean? Like, this is shocking. And he is saying to you, he is saying to Mary, I'll give you the evidence and I'll give you a bit of assurance that I can do this. And Mary goes to see Elizabeth. And as soon as she's within sight, their baby in Elizabeth's womb leaps, right? Woo! Boom! Whoa! And Elizabeth knows what it means. She knows what it means. She says, oh my gosh, the mother of my Lord is here. I know Elizabeth is saying, I know who this baby is, John the Baptist. I know who he is. He's the one who's preparing the way of the Lord. And now I know who your child is. He is the Lord, the Savior. Beautiful. Nothing will be impossible. Nothing will be impossible. This idea, this truth of the incarnation is possible because God is doing it. God is doing it. And we can think of our lives and we think of our salvation and we see the possibility of our salvation because of the incarnation. And everything that God does is smaller than the incarnation. Right? That God would become a human. And that God would grow. How does that work? That God would grow. That God would learn. That God would learn how to drink or something like that, right? Like, you know, when you hold the bottle for the baby, and then one day, amazingly, they put the little hands on there, and they learn how to hold the bottle themselves, and you, like, do backflips. You're like, wow, that's one less thing I have to do. Amazing, right? Like, are we saying that Christ is learning this? I don't know. That's one mystery, right? But what I'm saying is that it's possible because God is doing it. And then we look at the people that God has used along the way to get to Christ. And he used some shady people. He used some prostitutes. He used some broken people. He used some broken families. But then we read that and we have a great assurance of the grace of God. I read about the incarnation. I have a great assurance of what God is able to do. And I can say, Lord, if you can do that, then you can do anything. And then I read the stories and I say, Lord, if you can use them, then you can use anybody. And then I look at the world that we live in and I say, Lord, if you could save me, then you could save anybody. And then our hearts are turned this way into seeing the possibility of God and seeing the ability of God and seeing the love of God and seeing the grace of God. And it changes our view of things. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. Isn't that a great line? We need to speak. We need to bring back this kind of English. I love it. Right? Long lay the world in sin and error pining. What does that mean? That we're there in sin and they're in error, just trudging along. But then this light has come into the world, and we could say it's not possible that I could do anything else. But then this light comes into the world and say, no, it's possible that you would do something else. It's possible that you would walk in the light of God. A weary world rejoices because of the truth of Christ and because of the hope that he introduces into our lives. Mary's response in verse 4. I'm sorry, Martha's response. I'm sorry, who am I talking about? Who is it? Elizabeth. There it is. Elizabeth. Can't keep track. Elizabeth's response in verse 45. Blessed is she who has believed. Blessed is she who has believed. For there will be a fulfillment of those things that were told from the Lord. There will be fulfillment. Oh, Lord, yes, there will be fulfillment. What great assurance. So now Mary comes to see Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is pregnant. Woo! Wow! The baby is like having a party because the Lord is there, and now Mary is there. And Elizabeth says, oh, yes, the Lord, there will be a fulfillment. There will be a fulfillment. And we have this expectation in our lives. God, will you use us? God, will you strengthen us? God, will you deliver us? There will be a fulfillment. That we do have victory over sin. We do have victory over failure. And amazing to think that the story in our life is never over. The story is never over. But there is always the plan of God ahead of me. And there is always redemption. There is always hope. There is always grace. There is always His love prepared for us. There will be a fulfillment of these things. Mary, and then what another assurance to Mary, right? Another assurance. Elizabeth is saying there will be fulfillment. And then Mary sings her song in verse 46 through 55. I won't read the whole thing. We said a little bit, one message. Verse 49, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He who is mighty has done great things for us. I believe it. We can see it in our lives, right? We can see it. We can see it in each other, to see the mighty work of God in each other's lives. Bev, is that Bev Douse back there? Woo! Bev Douse. Love it, huh? Bev Douse. She's a comedian. She's amazing. You got to spend time with Beverly Douse. She's amazing. John, you are too. You are too. We love you. But we're trying to build up your wife here, okay? Stop. No, I'm just kidding. No. What am I saying? I'm so distracted by you people. No. No, God is doing great things in our lives, right? God is doing great things in our lives. And we love to see it in each other. And we come together and we say, God has done great things for us. I mean, let me tell you the story. We don't have to get into the details of it, right? Our testimony is that God has done great things for us. Have you gone through the year? Have you thought through the year and thought, man, I think differently. I act differently. Why? Because God has done great things for you. He has. Nothing is impossible. Don't put anything in this margin that God can't do it, or I'll never have victory over, or that's just the way it is. Right? Have you had that in your heart before? You'd be like, I guess that's just who I am. That's what I am. This is what I do. No. There's a new reality. There isn't anything that is impossible with God, and there will be a fulfillment of these things. You say, I am a new creation. I have a new identity. I am new in Christ, and I don't have to do what I used to do. I am free from the past because nothing is impossible with God. So we have our Christmas. We had a great Christmas morning. We had a great time, right? I don't know what time the kids were up, like 6:30. It was perfect, right? It was great, right? And then we have the evening. We have the rest of the day. We're with family. We're with by ourselves. We're quiet. Whatever it is, whatever God has given us in this time. And we just think about what is possible. Is it in your prayer that God would use you in this time? In missions. Right? We have missions in our heart, locally, internationally. We love missions. We have flags in here. We get newsletters from our friends. We love missions. Why? Because it's what God is doing in the world. It's the light that He is bringing into the world, and we can be a part of it. And is it in your heart? I'm praying, Lord, send us on a mission somewhere. Send me somewhere. I want to visit another church. I want to encourage someone. I want to have a little bit of a mission here. Give me somebody in the city that I can reach out to. Right. Christina O'Reilly and Caroline McCarthy, they're like market basket evangelists. Right. Like I, and then some, who else? Jawalda and the Marists. They're always at Market Basket. Always, right? And it's always prayer and gospel and Market Basket. Right? We were actually on evangelism 1 week, and Christina gave a tract to a guy and then saw him the next day at Market Basket, right? So we tried to stop to talk to the guy in the street. He said, no, thank you. We said, okay. And then the next day at Market Basket, Christina said, hey, I've been following you all day. Right? No, she didn't say that. No, but God is doing something. Are we open to God using us? Or are we saying, no, God, I have done this. I can't. I am on the shelf. I can't. I have taken myself out. Mark, what's the word? I need my thesaurus. I've discredited myself. I can't be used. I forgot already. The moment came and went. It would have been divine. No, I can't. No, I'm kidding, Mark. I'm joking. You're perfect. You're perfect. Love you, Mark. Thank you. Thank you, brother. But I am never out. But God can use me. God can use us. Missions. Can He teach us to pray? I'm asking that this year personally. Lord, teach me to pray this year. And as a church, that we would be in prayer. And we're going to reintroduce our prayer meetings that we haven't had for a couple of years. We'll get them back on, right? And our time of prayer together. We have our prayer nights here in the church. And we have our prayer with people. And that, what can I do through prayer? I don't know. A lot more than I can do without prayer, I think, right? But I can hear from God. I can be in tune with God. I can be moved by God. He could bring a peace into my soul. Right? Have you had that? You step into the presence of God and you feel, oh, rest, peace. Thank you, Lord. Teach us to pray. Is it possible that we can learn our Bibles in this year? Yeah, huh? It is. Isn't that exciting to think? How gracious is it that God only gave us one book? Isn't that beautiful? I mean, we have shelves of books, but this is the one that matters. Thank you, Lord. You're so merciful. It's just one book. I could handle one book for the rest of my life. Lord, teach me. What does it mean? Teach me the structure of it. Teach me how to see Christ through the whole thing. Help me to think with the Bible. Like, it's possible that God can do this with us. And you can say, you don't know my brain. And I can say, you don't know my brain. Right? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Can walk and talk at the same time. That's actually why I just stand here most of the time. Right? No, nothing. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. So there will be a fulfillment of these things, right? In our lifetime, we will experience the goodness of God. We will experience the grace of God. And we will see Him working in our lives. But also, in the future, we will be with God forever. And that's a whole nother message. But isn't it great to be together this morning and just be thinking about the goodness of Christ, the grace of God, how He came, how perfect it was, how He answered every question, and then He introduced Himself and said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Follow me. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your Bible, Lord, the Word of God given to us. Thank you for the person of Christ and the perfect life He lived and the death that He died for us, Lord. Thank you that you have overcome death, you have overcome the grave, and you've given us life. Thank you. In Jesus' name.